Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
What's going on, everybody, and good morning. Today is Friday, January 3rd, and this is your daily Go Birds morning update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. And man, do we have a lot to get into today. The Pro Bowl announcements were made, and there were only actually six Eagles that made it, which I was pretty surprised about. I think there was a few that definitely could probably make an argument for being left off. But then also, we got Mailata, speaking of guys left off, talking about the decision to rest starters. And then I took, we have an injury report and an update on Jalen Hurts, probably not the update you all wanted. And then we're going to get into which would be a better matchup for the Eagles this week in the playoffs. And obviously it'll be decided this weekend, the Green Bay Packers or the Washington Commanders. But first, we've told you about our friends at Window Nation a ton. We do it all the time, but I wanted to make sure to tell you guys about it on this beautiful Friday, because as you know, James recently had Window Nation come out to his house to check all the windows. They made the process so easy for him. He was texting me while it was going on, and I know he highly recommends it because I've seen him do it to people in his life, not on the pod, not on the radio, just like random people that come up and ask about it. And I always tell him replacing old drafty windows will help cut down those energy bills and it'll keep his house warmer. And Window Nation, they're always having a good sale. You just call them up. They have excellent financing. You make no payments for a few years. They just always have great stuff. And what's awesome is they always make it super affordable. Everyone I talk to, including my parents, always tell me how they were surprised how cheap it was. And I'm the same way. Like whenever I do anything for my house, I always think it's going to be a lot of money. And unfortunately, sometimes it is. But with Window Nation, I'm always shocked to hear what people pay to get their windows paid. And obviously they do a lot with the financing and the no payments to make it super affordable. So if you're thinking about new windows, now's the time. Window Nation's got top quality windows, so you can give your house the gift of new windows. It's past the holiday season. A lot of people that I know, including my brother, and actually I think my sister as well, are doing where they're giving gifts after the holiday season because you get better deals. Not a bad deal or idea with your home either. So get winter ready with Window Nation. The sale, it always ends soon, but they always have good deals. So call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com today and make sure you tell them that Go Bird sent you. So make sure you give Window Nation a call. So let's get into everything we have today, because it was a busy day down at the NovaCare. Lots of news, as I said. A few players talked that didn't talk on Wednesday, and we got another practice report. But let's start where we always do, which is what is on the schedule for today. And as always, Nick Sirianni will speak to the media today, Friday. Happy weekend, basically. Nick will speak at 11:40. So make sure you're tuned in to all the socials for that. I'll be tweeting out and sky blue skying and threading, anything interesting he has to say. That'll be at 11:40. Practice begins at 12:30, and then the open locker room at 1:40. We'll get a chance to hopefully hear from AJ and Devontae. So, in addition to that, the Eagles did practice on Thursday, and it wasn't a walkthrough. It was a regular full practice, and we got an injury report from that. So the notables among the did not practice: Saquon Barkley, AJ Brown, Kenny Pickett, and Devontae Smith. So Saquon Barkley did not practice due to rest. AJ Brown, rest slash a knee injury. Kenny Pickett, his ribs, no rest designation there. So he's just not practicing because he's hurt. And Devontae Smith, wrist slash rest. So with Saquon, AJ, and Devontae, I wouldn't worry about it. They're going to play in the playoffs. They'll be fine. With Kenny Pickett, I think it's pretty clear he's not going to play this weekend. They only practiced with two quarterbacks on Thursday, and that was Tanner McKee and Ian Book. So I would expect to see a lot of Tanner McKee and a little bit of Ian Book in this upcoming game on Sunday. But the interesting one is Jalen Hurts. Once again, did not practice, not listed with rest. So that's important designation because while they're acknowledging A.J. Brown is dealing with some type of knee thing, they're basically saying he's not practicing because of rest. Devontae Smith, dealing with some type of wrist thing, not practicing because of rest. Jalen Hurts is not practicing because of the concussion. That's clear from the injury report. Yes, he has a left finger injury, but he's practiced with the left finger injury before. So the concussion, the left finger injury, the Eagles have said that he is still in the concussion protocol. There's been no update. My opinion on it is that I still expect him to play in the playoffs. I think that he will play in the first playoff game, and I would be surprised if he's not practicing for that first practice next Wednesday. But the further this goes, he hasn't practiced since he suffered the concussion against Washington, hasn't spoken any of that stuff. I haven't even seen him. He's apparently in the building, but I haven't seen him. I would just say, until he's out of it, I think it's just something to monitor. I don't think it's something fans should be worried about, but you'd obviously rather see him out of it just because, A, you don't want him to still be dealing with symptoms, if that's something he is dealing with just for his everyday life as a human. You don't want to see Jalen go through that. But then also, it'll just be reassuring, I think, once you see him out of it on the practice field and you know he is good to go for the playoffs. So that's the latest on Jalen and the players that didn't practice. A few noteworthy players were a full participant. Dallas Goedert, full participant. Bryce Huff, full participant. And N'Kobe Dean, full participant. So the Eagles did put tight end CJ Uzomah on the injured reserve earlier this week. So that's obviously going to be Goddard's spot. I don't think Goddard will play this week. I'd be pretty surprised if he did. There is an argument just to get him out there, get a few reps since he hasn't played in a month. But I just think when you're resting everybody else, the smart move is probably just to have him adjust in the playoffs, which is unfortunate because obviously it's a huge game and all those things, but he's played in the playoffs. He's played in the Super Bowl. I'm sure he will be okay. So outside of the injury news, the Pro Bowl announcements were made on Thursday and six Eagles players made the Pro Bowl. Now with the year they've had, I think you could argue a few more certainly deserved it. And there were some first alternates, but the six that made it outright: Zach Bond, Saquon Barkley, Cam Jurgens, Lane Johnson, Landon Dickerson, and Jalen Carter. So obviously all extremely well deserved. We know the season Saquon Barkley's had. Landon Dickerson and Lane Johnson are just kind of perennial Pro Bowlers at this point. They're clearly viewed as among the best, if not the best in the league at their positions. But it's very interesting and obviously something the team should be very proud of, that Cam Jurgens and Jalen Carter both made the Pro Bowl this year. We spent so much time this offseason, and I believe rightfully so, to be clear. I don't think it was unfair to question how these players would play. But talking about how Jalen Carter is replacing Fletcher Cox and Cam Jurgens is replacing Jason Kelce. And in their first years as the full-time replacements, they made the Pro Bowl. That is obviously a great, great thing, but it's also a great sign of how the organization is running right now. The scouting department correctly scouted them, brought them in. The coaches correctly have developed them to gotten them to a point where they could play at a high level. The players around them are helping them and making them better players. Jason Kelce and Fletcher Cox should feel pride in the fact that these players were Pro Bowl players this year in their first year starters. So just another sign that the Eagles are operating at a level that not a lot of other teams are right now. I mean, there's probably four or five teams in the league that could say they're operating at the level the Eagles are. The team they're playing this weekend, the Giants, certainly not one of them. But just very, very cool to see Cam and Jalen Carter make it in their first season. So a lot of the players that made the Pro Bowl did talk today. And let's start with Cam just quickly, because I do think it's really cool that he made it in his first year. We talked about him on the pod a few weeks ago about how nobody's talking about him, really. How, and he actually said this today in a joking, nice way, but during preseason, it was a lot of, are you replacing Kelsey? Are you replacing Kelsey? What's the pressure about replacing Kelsey? Do you think you can replace Kelsey? And he said he noticed as the season went on, those questions stopped. And he felt that was a pretty good indication that he was playing well. But the other thing he pointed out was how lucky he was to come to a team that has helped him develop so much. So here's Cam Jurgens on the help he got from others to help make the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, I think it was just beneficial, you know, stepping into the league. I feel like it's always tough going from, you know, high school to college and college to the NFL. And it's always nice to have people to look up to and see what they do. You know, I mean, think of the O-line room I stepped into. I stepped in, Kelsey was here. Isaac Smalu, Mulata, Lane, like everybody was pros, you know, they're good at what they do. And so just getting able to pick their brain and watch what they do on the field, off the field, recovery wise, and just like, you know, the path is already set, you know, things have already been done. Stouts had so many Pro Bowlers, all pros, just like I have to follow in their footsteps and just do, you know, what I think's right and to get better. But at the end of the day, you know, they already have a culture, and I just have to, you know, live up to it and, you know, join in on it.
You know, when I was thinking about recording this pod on the drive home from the facility and making sure I wanted to use that quote, I was thinking about, and hopefully this is a ways away, but when draft prep comes, we're talking about these different players, how if I'm a player, like I am praying I get drafted by the Eagles. You look at some of this development, Jalen Carter, Cam Jurgens, Quinyon Mitchell, Cooper DeJean, like they have, N'Kobe Dean, they have done an outstanding job developing players. And any rookie is lucky to come to Philadelphia. Not only are you going to be part of a winning team, you're going to be part of a program that will get the best out of you and help you get that second contract. Think of how much Cam Jurgens is about to get paid this offseason, right? Like that happened because of hard work, because he's a great player and all those things. But like he just said there, coming to a team where you have great players around you and can help you develop, that's massive for a young player. So really cool, I think, for Cam to point that out. And you know, really big credit to the Eagles for getting Cam and Jalen Carter to where they are at. But unfortunately, not all players make the Pro Bowl, but one player who did not make it that very, very clearly should have made it is Jordan Mailata. Jordan Mailata, I think around the league, was viewed as one of the biggest snubs, but outside of that, just in Philly, locally, obviously, viewed as a big-time snub. And, you know, you don't really have to dive deep into why Mailata should have made it. He very clearly should have made it, but let's just go over some of the reasons Mailata should have made it. He is the highest-graded offensive player in the NFL, according to Pro Football Focus. Not tackle, but obviously is tackle. The highest-graded player on offense, receiver, quarterback, tight end, running back, guard, center, tackle. Mailata is graded higher than any of them. He's obviously also the highest graded run blocker in the NFL. He's ranked second in the NFL in pass blocking grade behind Tristan Wirfs, who made it. And in his 406 pass blocking snaps, he's allowed just one sack and one quarterback hit. 406 pass blocking snaps, one sack, one quarterback hit. Also, Mailata has the second highest island rate among offensive tackles this season. So Mailata gets basically no help. The only tackle that gets less help, Lane Johnson. So the Eagles, by far, just put their tackles out on an island against great edge rushers, and they do an outstanding job. So he's doing what he's doing with literally no help. So outside, look, I can go on and on about how he should have made it and how it's a huge snub, but I think Landon Dickerson probably put it best when he was asked about Mailata not making it. And here's what he had to say.
I don't know how the voting shit works or whatever, but it's the most rigged, flawed shit in the world, because I think that's probably the best left tackle in the league right now. So, I don't know how the voting or all that shit works, but yeah, it's flawed somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, look, Dickerson made it, so obviously something's going right with the voting, but clearly Mailata should have been a Pro Bowl. I know that it's a stacked NFC, only three tackles make it, but And I'm sure that he was hurt by the fact that Lane made it, because they probably don't want to put two tackles from the same team on there. But it's a joke. He should absolutely be a Pro Bowler. It's a shame he's not. He's worked hard this year. I get to do the Players Lounge with him. I know how hard he works. I see the impact of the games on his body on Monday, and he deserves to be there. It's just flat out, he deserves to be there. So Mulata was asked about it, and he kind of handled it how you would expect him to. And here's what he had to say about not making it.
Name to the Pro Bowl after the year.
Man, that's out of my control. I can't control that. But I will say this, you know, it's not something that I prioritized or look forward to. I mean, you guys know that. And another thing is, man, I know when I look back from where I was last year to where I am this year, I know I'm on the right path. I'm on the right path. So, you know, I think we're, our big mantra here has always been control what you can control. Can't control that. So it is what it is.
What's it mean to you to, I mean, talk to Land? We talked to Land and he's upset you didn't make it. Cam is upset you didn't make it. What's it just mean to have your teammates feel that way?
Nah, man, we're brothers, man. They feel for me. I'm just like, I don't want your pity. It's all good. It's all good. So it is what it is, guys.
You use it as motivation for next year? Or?
I already have plenty of motivation. I don't need that as extra motivation. I have plenty.
We spent a lot about those guys.
So it is disappointing, obviously, and he's not going to say it flat out. And I respect the fact that he doesn't use it as motivation. And he also went on to talk about how, you know, Lane doesn't use it as motivation, and he learned that from him. And he doesn't let people outside the building impact his opinion on himself, because if he's doing that, like, then he's not allowing the opinion of the people he works with, his teammates, to impact him. And so that's what he focuses on. So he clearly has a very good attitude about all this, but it's a shame. He should have made it. He should be enjoying the things that Jalen Carter, Zach Bond, Saquon, Cam, he worked hard enough to be there. So I definitely think he's a snub. And it's messed up he didn't make it. The two other snubs that I think should have made it, Josh Sweat, I think had a good enough year to make it. Now, he's a first alternate. He had more sacks than Rashawn Gary, who did make it over him. I think Josh Sweat should have made it. But also, it's worth highlighting that neither AJ nor Devontae made it. And in a week where we've talked so much about the selflessness of like Saquon, because he's not going for the record, and it's not about the team, it's not about the individuals, it's about the team, and it's all about the Super Bowl. We should highlight that the sacrifice AJ Brown and Devontae make cost them the Pro Bowl. Like, if they were on a pass first team, they would be in the Pro Bowl. They would have good enough numbers to be in the Pro Bowl, and arguably should have been in the Pro Bowl anyway, especially AJ Brown. But because of the run first approach, which has helped the team for sure, they're not in the Pro Bowl. And I think it's worth pointing that out and commending them for it, because for the most part, they've done it with a big smile on their face. There's been very little dust up about anything with the lack of targets or whatever outside of the after the Carolina game. But they would have been Pro Bowlers today, probably. Like, if they're playing with, you know, whatever the team is that passed at most in the league, they're probably in the Pro Bowl today. So Mailata definitely should have made it. Josh Sweat, I think, should have made it. But don't forget to bring up AJ Brown and Devontae when it comes to guys that should be Pro Bowlers that are not. Okay. Finally, before we get into comparing Washington and Green Bay, Jordan Mailata said after the game this past Sunday that he was going to talk to Nick Sirianni about wanting Saquon to play and get the record, and obviously the offensive lineman. I know this is something we talked about at length all week, but I thought it was worth asking Mailata about it because he had said so clearly he was going to talk to Nick. So here's what Mailata had to say about the conversations with Nick and resting the starters.
The decision.
It was a tough conversation. Talk to Nick, talk to Say, talk to the alignment. And I think, you know, Nick made the best decision in terms of our goals as a team. It sucks. But, you know, again, that is the hat that Nick wears, that he has to make that call. And you know, as players, we have to respect that call. You know, you can have all the conversations you want, but at the end of the day, that's Nick's decision, and we have to respect that. That's just the bottom line.
Part of what Pro Bowl does.
I think the main sentiment I get this week in the locker room from the main characters in this thing is they wish they were going for it. Now, that doesn't mean they're like devastated they're not. It doesn't mean that they're mad at Nick. It doesn't mean this is going to be an issue. I'm just saying they wanted to go for it, and they're not. And the team made that decision. And as Jordan put it, that's the hat Nick has to wear. And look, when you're in a position of authority, maybe one day I'll find out, you have to make tough decisions. You don't always make popular decisions. And obviously, this was, I think, not a popular decision in the locker room. It doesn't mean they're mad. Well, again, all that. I'm not like causing drama here. I'm just saying whenever they talk, it's obvious they wanted to go for it. It's obvious Saquon wanted to. And you can hear it in Mailata's voice. Like he said, it sucks. Talked to Landon Dickerson about it. And he kind of echoed the sentiments of, look, it's what's best for the team. But it's obvious he wanted to go for it. So I think there's definitely disappointed players that they didn't go for it. I hope this is not something the team looks back on and regrets in a few years, because they do have a chance to make history that could potentially be there for a really long time. And, you know, even if the record's broken, they would have still been part of a team that broke a really long record. And I think that them breaking it would matter more than teams in 2-3 years that might do it. It's like the first person to break the home run record or whatever. Like, yeah, then it gets broken a bunch of times after that. But all that matters is the first person that did it. So, look, it sucks they're not going for it. We'll talk about it on Go Birds Radio. But all right, let's get into, since the Eagles game is meaningless this week, there's no point in previewing the game, really. Maybe we'll talk about some players that to keep an eye on. But outside of that, really not much to get into with this game. So on the other side, the Eagles' playoff opponent will be decided this week. And I wanted to dive into who I think will be a better matchup for them, the Washington Commanders or the Green Bay Packers. And I don't even think I really ended locked in on one, because I think it's close, but that's really the main thing. It's way closer than you think. So on the other side, we're going to get into that. But first, a word from our sponsors. Okay, so let's get into really the biggest thing this weekend with the Eagles. Now that they aren't playing their starters, Saquon's not going for the record, it is, who are they going to play in the first round of the playoffs? So obviously the Eagles locked into the number 2 seed, which means they will play the 7 seed. Now, as of now, the 2 most likely teams to be the 7 seed, in fact, I think the only 2 teams it could be, Washington and Green Bay. So here's how it plays out. Washington is playing Dallas, Green Bay is playing Chicago. If Washington wins, then it's Green Bay. Doesn't matter what Green Bay does. If Washington wins, the Eagles play the Packers in the first round of the playoffs. If Washington loses to Dallas and then Green Bay beats Chicago, then it would be Washington. Now, with Dallas likely to, you know, last game of the season, not playing it for anything, I would think Washington wins that game. And I would think Green Bay probably beat Chicago. But anything could happen. So while it is likely to be Green Bay, let's take a look at both of the teams and decide which one you would prefer to play. Would you prefer the Eagles play the Packers, or would you prefer the Eagles play Washington? Now, I will say this. Prior to really digging deep into both of the teams, I was pretty firm I would rather have them play Washington. I think Green Bay is the better team. They're playoff tested. They don't have a rookie quarterback, all those things. And that is, frankly, where I probably still land on it. But to be honest, after digging into both teams, and I spent the majority of Thursday watching pretty much every single pass Jordan Love attempted this year. I feel like I have a good read on Jaden Daniels. Saw him play twice. I've watched some of their games. But I went and I watched every single pass Jordan Love threw this year. And I got to be honest, I did not come away impressed with Jordan Love. So while I think the easy assumption is, yeah, you'd rather play Washington. Their stats aren't as good. Like, I don't know, man. I think there is a real argument that you would rather see the Packers come into Lincoln Financial Field for that first game. So let's dive into the numbers. I'll give you guys the stats, and then you guys can decide who you would rather have the team play. So first, let's look at the Packers, since I think most people would assume they are the better team. The Packers, 27.4 points per game this year. That's 8th in the NFL. They have the 12th best third down offense, converting on third down at 40% of the time. They are 5th in the NFL in yards per play, averaging just over 6.1 yards per play. They are 3rd in yards per pass, 7.7 yards per pass. And then they are 7th in yards per rush, 4.7 yards per rush. On defense, the defense is really, I think, probably the difference between Washington and Green Bay. So the Packers' defense is 6th in the NFL in 19.6 points per game allowed. Pretty good. Third down defense, they're 10th. They're allowing a conversion only 36.6% of the time. Yards per play, they are 9th at just 5.2 yards per play allowed. They are 14th in pass defense at 6.1 yards per pass allowed, 5th in run defense at 4.0 yards allowed per rush, and they are 14th in the NFL in total quarterback pressures, which with 137 entering the final weekend of the season. So when you look at the Packers, where you really come away with this saying, they have a top 10 offense and a top 10 defense. You can, you know, debate, I guess. Like, I think they do definitely have a top 10 offense, but I think they definitely have a top 10 defense. And I think that is the biggest difference between Green Bay and Washington. So now we go to Washington. Washington averaging 28.9 points per game. That is more than the Packers are averaging on offense, and that's good for fifth in the league. Yards per play, they're averaging 5.8 yards per play. That is more than the Packers are averaging, only by a little bit. Washington is fourth. The Packers are fifth. Third down offense, Washington is over 45%. So they are sixth in the NFL in third down offense, converting, like I said, 45.6% of the time. Yards per pass, they are 11th in the NFL at 6.5. Yards per rush, they are fifth at 4.9. And so, you know, you look at those numbers and they're pretty comparable to Green Bay's. They average more points than Green Bay does. Their yards per play are actually not as great as Green Bay's. The difference is Green Bay, Washington converts in the red zone at a really high clip. Green Bay, not as much. So I think their offenses are pretty similar in terms of production and output. Like, if the Eagles defense, and Eagles defense is arguably the best in the league, like, both will be a test. The Green Bay offense and the Washington offense will both be tests for the Eagles defense. The difference is the defense. So as I was saying, Washington's defense, 19th in the NFL, 23.3 points per game. So just as a reminder, Green Bay's is 6th in the NFL. Green Bay is allowing about 4 or 5 fewer points than Washington is per game. Yards per play, Washington is 5.4. That's 14th. They're allowing more yards per play than Green Bay is. Third down defense, they are 12th. Reminder, Green Bay's defense is 10th. Run defense, they are 30th. So they have one of the worst run defenses in the NFL, 4.8 yards per play. And pass defense is actually 11th, which is a bit surprising, 6.0 yards per play. And then quarterback pressures, they have totaled 120 quarterback pressures this season. That is good for 23rd in the NFL. So when you look at it, Green Bay's defense is better by pretty much every metric. They're just a better defense. Where it kind of sways me, and I'm curious where you guys fall on it, is who's the better quarterback, Jaden Daniels or Jordan Love? I think that obviously heading into this year, you would have said Jordan Love. Jaden Daniels hadn't played a single snap. But Jordan Love this year, I think, has been somewhat of a disappointment. Watching his tape and all the attempts he made this year, I did not come away impressed. In fact, I will say, oftentimes when we watch players like Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, a common theme from people that don't like Jalen Hurts is like, man, these guys are so much better than Jalen. Imagine these guys on the Eagles. When you watch like all the other guys besides those like elite guys, I came away from watching Jordan Love thinking Jalen Hurts is the better quarterback. Jalen Hurts is a far better runner than Jordan Love. And what really stood out to me watching Jordan Love is his accuracy is extremely inconsistent. There were so many throws I saw where the ball placement was not good, where plays where when it's in the air, I'm thinking, oh, that guy's open, and it falls incomplete. Now, Jordan Love does have like a good arm in the way that it comes out. It looks good coming out of his hand. It has a lot of zip on it. He has a ton of arm strength. He can throw the ball really far. So he definitely makes some wow throws. And I would say, you know, for every bad throw he made, for let's say every 5 bad throws he made, there was probably one wow throw. So I definitely came away, like, you can see why the Packers score points. They have some really good receivers. Jaden Reed is unbelievable watching him through all the Jordan Love targets. Christian Watson, Romeo Doubs, Wicks, the backup receiver, Dontavian Wicks, I think his name is. Like, they have weapons on offense. I think they have better weapons on offense than Washington does. The difference is, I think Washington has a better quarterback, and I think they probably have a better offensive coordinator or offensive play caller. So when I watch Jaden Daniels this year, he is extremely accurate. Like, if a guy's open, Jaden Daniels gets the ball to him. And the stats back this up. If you look at the advanced stats, Jaden Daniels is about 5% more accurate throws according to Pro Football Reference. And the bad throws, throws that are off target, Jordan Love is below average. I think he's like 28th or 29th in the league. And Jaden Daniels near the top of the league where he doesn't have as many bad throws. So just simply put, I think it comes down to this when you decide who you want to play. Green Bay has a much better defense, but I think Washington has a much better quarterback. Now, there are other factors. The fact that Green Bay has playoff experience. They went on the road last year and won two playoff games. They almost won in San Francisco. They won one playoff game. They almost won in San Francisco. Like, they are an impressive team just in terms of what they did last year. And their stats are good this year. Now, you would also look at it and go, they didn't beat any great teams this year. They lost to Minnesota both times. They lost to the Lions both times. They lost to the Eagles. Like, they don't really have any great wins. They beat the Rams, which is like a decent win. And they had one more good win on there. I think they maybe beat Houston. But they have not stood up against the best teams in the league. Now, the same can certainly be said for Washington, but for as good as Green Bay's offense is, it hasn't resulted in anything super special. And then look, again, same for Washington. But ultimately, it comes down to, would you rather face a tougher defense or a tougher quarterback? And for me, I think I would rather face the tougher defense. I think this Eagles offense is going to score points. A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Saquon Barkley, Goddard back, the offensive line playing well. And while I think Jalen could be rusty, we've already seen him move the ball against Green Bay's offense. We saw him do it in the first game of the season. And rewatching that game this week, I think Jalen's considerably better now than he was at the beginning of the year. So I think that some of the throws he made against Green Bay, the turnovers early, like, I don't think he would make those throws. My concern in a playoff game would be Jaden Daniels comes in and he's just special. And how many times in the playoffs, whether it's with the Eagles, not with the Eagles, whatever, like, a special quarterback, it changes everything completely. Like, you will see more teams, in my opinion, win in the playoffs because they had the better quarterback that day than they had the better defense. So ultimately, while I look, this is a tough 50-50, and that's why I can't wait to talk to you guys about it on Saturday. While I definitely see the logic for Green Bay, for wanting to play Washington, I think I'd rather play Green Bay. You haven't played them since week one. That's kind of a new opponent. You've seen Washington two times. They've just beat you. Washington feels like it has a little bit more of an it factor this year. Green Bay, I think, is probably underperformed. Washington is overperformed. So push come to shove, if I had to pick, I think I would rather have the Packers come in here than Washington. And look, the good news is that's what's more than likely going to happen. So I will talk to you guys on Saturday about it. I'm very curious where you guys fall. I know James, I think, would much rather see Washington, but we will talk about it on Saturday on Go Birds Radio. I hope you all have a great Friday. Enjoy your night and hopefully have a good time, but don't have too good of a time where you can't call Go Birds Radio tomorrow, 1 to 4. So an extra hour at Parks Casino. Come out, come hang. It's always a fun time, but more importantly, call. Always love when some new callers call. So, until then, he's Elliot. I'm James. Talk to you guys later.